Now, this is not a sermon about Al Gore. You know him, the inventor of the internet and noted climate expert. It's more about, I hope none of you have this on your car. Because what that says, you may coexist, but your driving still stinks. When I was a chaplain teaching at the academy, and Scott remembers this because back in his day, and Gordon, we had religious tolerance. You know, tolerance, legal and social. Of course, you can believe whatever you want. You have the legal right. I'm going to treat you with, as a person, but that doesn't mean I agree with what you believe. That is now, by the time Snot-Nosed Me came along, we were teaching what was called religious respect. You know, I respect you as a person. Yeah. I respect your right to believe legally, whatever. Yeah. But I have to respect your views. And we can't critique views that are, wrong, quite frankly. So this is part of a foundational series, I call it, the first, several weeks. We started with the first Sunday in January. Why? Why are we here? Our mission and purpose, the glory of God, ultimately. Last week was rather heavy duty and pretty long, but without excuse, the idea that salvation is only by receiving the revelation of God through his word. So ultimately, we have to present God's gospel. God reveals. So, the cloud, creation, our consciousness, those are what are called natural revelation. They're important. But ultimately, we have to hear about our sin, Christ the Savior, and what he did. So then building on that now, we're going to be talking about an inconvenient truth as far as the world is concerned, the truth of salvation in Christ alone. Scott, is there a song about that somewhere we could sing? So it's a couple definitions. The orthodox view, what I will assume we all believe, is called exclusivism. The idea, the belief that only one religion is true and the others opposed to it are false. The central claims of Christianity are true, for what we believe. And that where the claims of Christianity conflict with those of other religions, the latter are to be reflected as false. Okay, that's pretty hard and fast. So we believe in the authority of Scripture and as Jesus as the only Savior. But there's been a rise of what's called inclusivism. These are big words, but just so you're aware, there's a name to what's going on if you turn on the news. It claims that one religion is explicitly true, what is said, while all others are implicitly true. So there's one truth, but there could be truth elsewhere. So the central claims of Christian faith are true, okay? But God reveals himself and provides salvation to other non-Christians, religions, because of the work of Christ. So ultimately, all are saved through Jesus. But you can believe whatever, be a nice person is usually the easiest way. And Jesus will take care of your sin too. He died for the world extensively. Everybody in the world, Jesus died for. Won't go into that now, but that's sort of that thinking. And then finally, where we are today, I would argue, is pluralism, the belief that every religion is true. each provides a genuine encounter with the ultimate God. God is actively revealing himself in all religious traditions. Jesus is only one of many great religious leaders. So to quote a knucklehead, John Hick was his name. He said, I have not found that the people of other world religions are, in general, on a different moral and spiritual level from Christians. For the basic ideal of love and concern for others and of treating them as you would like to be treated is in fact taught by all the great religious traditions. So there's nothing unique about Christians. You know, if it makes you a nice person, it's good. So you can probably guess that the problem with that and what our culture buys. Why is exclusivism, which is the correct view, you know, we believe that Christ is the only way, is rejection. Why does the world not buy that? Well, one of my professors wrote a really good book called Dissonant Voices, and he gives a couple reasons. Exposure to adherents of other faiths. How many of you know your neighbors, you know, your coworkers that are nice people, but they believe something else? So the global village idea, no longer heathens over on the other side of the world, they're our neighbors. Friends, coworkers, they're not so different from us, we think. What right do we have to tell them that our religion is right and theirs is wrong? Okay, you get, let that sink in. What about the morality? What about the morality of Gandhi? I mean, we know he had bad breath, but he was an awfully nice guy. The compassion of Buddha or the sensitivity of Confucius. You know, we see that what people do, it must work for them, so, you know, they're not so different. Also, skepticism is really rising in our culture today. The idea of some old dead thinkers, but truth, and we can't ultimately understand, you know, metaphysics, what is above our physics world. We can't understand that. And so the Bible then is subjected to what's called higher criticism, where scholars, and I put that in quotes, start dissecting what the Bible, you know, meant, and oh, that's an outdated book. We can't really understand what it says completely. A guy for the noted theological journal USA Today. He was a retired, American Baptist minister. Oliver Thomas, do you know that name? Peg? No, good. You're a good American Baptist. He said, a supposed Christian minister, American churches must reject literalism and admit we got it wrong on gay people. Being a faithful Christian does not mean accepting everything the Bible teaches. That's a preacher. I heard Giles preach that once. Reason and experience contradict Scripture. So guess what we're going to go with? Our sinful reasoning and our experience. An illustration, I will say, are the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg. He claims to be a Christian, and in fact, he even, you know, goes to try to describe it in Genesis. God, and maybe why he thinks abortion is okay, because God created him from the dust of the earth and breathed in him the breath of life. So until that baby actually breathes, it's not really a person. Okay. Stick to try not to crash our trains. And this is for Aggie, if you're listening out there in Never Never Land, but Bob Winkler loves Al Mohler. I like him too. He says what is sometimes called doctrinal emotivism. How we feel about doctrines. The reduction of doctrinal theological statements to what is believed to be an acceptable emotional intention or content. So it's more emotion. So that makes it true for us. So we are reducing all doctrine from being a truth claim, the truth of God's word in particular, to being an emotional statement. Folks, that's alive in the pastorate, in the news, turn on the politicians, you hear those statements, what's true for you? Another brilliant theologian, AOC, once said, well, that may be factually true, but it's not morally true. The idea that, the facts may be on your side, but emotionally they're on my side. And that's the way we think now. And I'm sort of poking fun at the culture, but folks, this creeps into the church. And so this is a challenge for all of us. Relativism, all beliefs are granted equal status and no one perspective is allowed to have priority over or rule out competing alternatives. That's your truth, that's your truth. So this one's for Gerard, if you're listening. Alan Bloom wrote The Closing of the American Mind book. Said, there's one thing a professor can absolutely be certain of. Almost every student entering the university believes, or says he believes, that truth is relative. We do it too. So, I would point out a fact. Christianity used to be discredited. People used to attack Christianity on the basis of philosophy or science or archaeology. Sort of factually, they would try to attack Christianity. Now it is disqualified because it claims absolute, unchanging, universally valid truth about God and sin. People don't like us Christians because we're pretty narrow-minded. We think there's only one way. People don't like absolute statements. And the church too. The differentiation between public and private. Public is the domain of fact. Privately, that's the realm of values. So public fact, truth, science. The science is proved. Private religion, that's merely a preference. You can believe whatever you want in your own house. And even there, it's getting to be where they don't want you to believe that in your own house. It's a matter of taste. You can believe whatever you want, but just don't try to present that in the marketplace of ideas. And so it's that private religion stuff is not appropriate to determine truth or apply it to others. You keep it to yourself, but don't try to proselytize me. That was the big no-no in the chaplaincy. Then there's pragmatic view of religion. That's the idea of it minimizes the actual idea of truth and focuses on what works for you. If it makes you feel good, that's truth. Have at it. But don't try to push what works for you on me. kumbaya. Exclusivist views like you narrow-minded Christians of religion disturb our global village. You guys are awfully strident about what you believe. As that really wise philosopher several years ago, Rodney King, once said, can't we all just get along? And then finally, the acceptance of what is called universalism. The doctrine of hell is morally questionable. Now, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? Type of idea. And, you know, for an enlightened culture, we're way too smart to believe in that hell stuff. How could a loving God send the people to hell today when they've never heard of Jesus? So it's not fair. We dealt with that last week with natural revelation. We are all guilty before our Creator. Aren't you glad that some of us are forgiven because of God's revealed truth? And it's through no fault of their own. I mean, those nice people in deepest, darkest Africa, they only eat their enemies. They don't eat their children. Hopefully none of you have read this book. Kelvin, I'm looking at you now. Rob Bell wrote a book called Love Wins. Remember that? A book about heaven, hell, and the fate of every person who ever lived. I mean, it was a pseudo scholarship that just says everybody goes to heaven. I mean, a loving God, of course, that's what God, you know, is going to let everybody in. So, what is the truth? As Paul would say, said in 1 Corinthians 1:23, we're going to finish up Corinthians at the end of this month, but Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block. And we might say to legalist religious people, that gets in the way of my self-righteousness. I don't want Jesus to have to do anything for me. I'm a preacher. Come on, guys. God loves me more than he loves you. So that's unpalatable to us. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, think of philosophers, those wise talking heads on TV, it's foolishness. You know, that's just a bunch of myths. That's relevant today. So, exclusive truth, that's unpalatable. People don't like somebody that speaks direct truth. And that's what leads to that pluralism. Here's a verse we all know, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, that's what's known as a universal negative. There are no exceptions. No one comes to the Father, God, except through me. Do we believe that? I hope so. So, either Jesus or pluralism is wrong. Which do you think? If you believe Jesus is wrong, raise your hand. If you believe pluralism is wrong, raise your hand. Some of you didn't raise your hand. There's a good church down the street. Go to that one. So what? Traditional Japanese saying says, although the paths to the summit may differ, from the top one sees the same moon. Although the paths to the summit may differ, from the top one sees the same moon. Well, that might be work for hiking, but not for religions. You know, all paths lead to God, the same moon. And here's a quote. I don't know if any of you, do you remember, any of you know who Kevin DeYoung is? And some of you, okay. And some of you, most of you, a lot of you are new. But he was here. And when his father-in-law, the Roy Beebe, who was a retired Navy chaplain, he was the endorser for the EFRI, and I had him come preach. And Kevin DeYoung is his son-in-law, married to his daughter. And so Kevin DeYoung, he's a big name, and you know, for young people, the young and restless, reformed people. But he was here, you know, and Kevin DeYoung was chasing the kids around the building, you know, with while Roy preached. But anyway, that name dropping now. Oh, can you read that? It's sort of small. All paths lead to God, but only one path will present you before God without fault and with great joy. Pick a path, any path. It will take you to God. Trust me, you will stand before him one day. You will meet your Maker. You will see the face of Christ. There are many ways up the mountain, like the Japanese said, but only one will result in life instead of destruction. I like that. Do you believe that? So don't fall prey. Sometimes we Christians can be pretty gullible. Don't fall prey to culture and its reasons for rejecting the exclusive truth of Christianity. As Paul says in Colossians 2, beware. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. If you are a Christian, and I hope you all are, we are in Christ. Before God, we have perfect standing. Now, of course, that has ramifications for our life, but our standing, the exclusive nature of what makes us right with God, is because of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Thou, my God, didst die for me, as we sang earlier. So then, this is hard because you guys are pretty nice people. We want to be compassionate. I'm getting more compassionate. I don't kick baby puppies like I used to. But it is not, I repeat, it is not loving to be wishy-washy about the gospel. You know, truth versus feelings. You rightfully, you were worried about people's feelings, but folks, we can't be worried about that at the expense of truth. We should not want people to have a false sense of security when it comes to their eternal destiny. Think about that. You know, you're going to be so wishy-washy that you're going to, well, like religious respect. We're going to respect them on their road to hell, and we're going to say, oh, hey, you're a nice person. One final, it's rather lengthy little quote, but finished up that book, Dissonant Voices. To those who take it for granted that one cannot have certainty about basic religious questions, the evangelical proclamation of Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life cannot help but sound arrogant. See, that's what I've been saying. Naive and intolerant. In such a climate, we're living in that climate now, then it is incumbent upon evangelicals, us hopefully, not only to proclaim the message of the gospel, so God's gospel, the real gospel, with humility. We Christians could learn that. I won't name names, but I commend some folks that, you know, for their zealousness, at least they're out there quoting the Bible and stuff, but they're sort of doing it in a very angry way. And That would turn me off. So with humility and sensitivity, but also to demonstrate to a skeptical and relativistic culture why it is that it can claim to have certainty concerning ultimate religious questions. So the idea is we really love people if we tell them the truth. Now do it with humility. You know, that's sort of you've heard the quote, yeah, I'm a sinner, but I'm a forgiven sinner. I don't deserve it any more than you, Mr. Pagan. So I'm not going to brag about who I am, because that would be bragging about my own righteousness. I'm going to brag about Christ and Him crucified, and you can know that too. You know, so whatever bondage of sin you're in, homosexuality, all those things that are accepted now, I love you as a person, but God can help you get out from the bondage of that sin. And that's how we Christians, we have the cure in what we proclaim. Let's not hoard it to ourselves and just laugh. Ah, you're on your way to hell. Because ultimately, it's all for God's glory. Look at that. It's 11:30. Actually, got done early this time. So anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the inconvenient truth, so to speak, of who we are in Christ. Give us opportunities and the courage and the words to be able to humbly and sensitively share that truth with a dying word. Help us to be those beggars telling other beggars where to find bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.